RabbitMQ is a messaging system which runs on top of the Erlang. It's kind of an adventure to get it working in Windows, so let's try getting it working inside of a Windows container. Let's mash on that. Hi everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. Today's episode, we are going to set up a Docker on Windows to run RabbitMQ. So this feels like a little bit of a departure from the standard ASP.NET stuff that we do normally, but for anybody who's following our stuff, they may have noticed that we're pretty interested in messaging, so be it through something like Mediator or N-Service Bus or even Mass Transit. So both N-Service Bus and Mass Transit support RabbitMQ as a transport protocol, and we'll get it running inside of a container so we can see how that looks.
Cool.
Okay, great. So I'm going to start off here. I have a handy dandy Docker file, which I spent an embarrassingly long time building. I want to talk about how many false starts there were on this, and it was a lot. Anyway, so I started basing it on the Microsoft Windows Server Core image. I tried the Nano server, and I couldn't get anything working on that. And there's like zero information on how to do that out there. But you would go and try and like execute an executable, and it would just be like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to execute that. So I'm sure there's some like package I need to add to get it to run sort of standard binaries, but I don't know what that package is. So anyway, some topics for research there, or if people want to put comments and tell me how to do it, sure would be appreciative.
So the main difference, I guess, well, not the main difference, but a big difference between the Nano server base and the Windows Server Core base would be size, right?
Yeah, so the Windows Server Core, I think I actually have some images here, Docker images. So Windows Server Core, ignore the million false starts that I have here. So Windows Server Core is 9.56 gigabytes and Nano Server is 925 megabytes. So sort of like 10-to-1 yeah. ratio there. So I imagine there's a fair bit of stuff that is missing in the Nano Server, including, you know, whatever it is that makes things actually work.
It's probably about 8 gigs worth of stuff.
Yeah. It's probably like some like Win32 library or something, but it was just like the error message was super generic, so it wasn't easy to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we start by exposing a bunch of ports. So this basically tells the container or Docker that these ports should be available for connecting to from outside. So it doesn't actually forward any of those ports, it just says like these ports should be open. So it's almost like punching a hole in a firewall here. And we open four different ports here. So 5672 is the one that's used for transport for RabbitMQ itself. It's a port mapper. Everybody who comes from Linux background is probably like, yeah, I remember port mappers. I don't know what the hell this is. It's an INET dist listen. I think this is actually used for passing messages back and forth between multiple RabbitMQ servers. So if you're building like a cluster of RabbitMQ servers, this is the port that they'll communicate on. And then there's a handy-dandy management console that you can grab access to. So you just grab access to this over a web browser. And then we're going to actually get into building the image itself. So I set up a couple of environmental variables, basically for where Erlang sits. So we need to install two things. We need to install Erlang, and we need to install RabbitMQ inside of the container. So Erlang, for people who are not familiar with it, is a language, but it's also like a distributed database and a bunch of other stuff. So I think that it came out of Ericsson research, the telephone maker. And it's a highly distributed, highly stable sort of programming language and distributed database. So I set two variables there for RabbitMQ to use to find stuff. And then I got down into this bit where I decided to install Chocolaty. So I had a lot of debate inside my mind about whether or not I should be installing Chocolaty inside of a container. So people who might not be familiar with Chocolaty, you should absolutely go and look into it. It is a package manager for Windows, so it's sort of like the Windows equivalent of apt-get or FreeBSD ports, or there's a bunch of other ones. I can't think of what the one is on Red Hat off the top of my head. And I kind of hummed it hard over it because I felt like a container should be as thin, as transparent as possible. And maybe installing a package manager, I was doing too much. But then it was kind of a pain to install RabbitMQ and Erlang from the command line. So I just bit the bullet and installed Chocolaty. And I actually talked to Rob, whose last name I'm going to forget now. But anyway, the fellow behind Chocolaty, and expressed my concerns, and he told me I was being silly. So, yeah. So I'm feeling good about that.
Reynolds, Rob Reynolds.
Yes, Rob Reynolds, that's the part. So anyway, once I got Chocolaty installed, installing RabbitMQ is as simple as choco install -y RabbitMQ, so that's going to install RabbitMQ, and it's going to install Erlang for me too. And then once I got RabbitMQ installed and up and running, I found that I couldn't connect to it. So RabbitMQ by default will only listen on like the loopback address, so it wasn't possible to attach to the container externally. So I could have forwarded some ports, but I thought I'm just going to open up RabbitMQ so I can connect to it using the guest account from another location. So in order to do that, I just set up a location. I wanted the RabbitMQ file, config file to go. So you can tell RabbitMQ like where to read its config file from. So I just told it to do like crabbitmq. And the trick here is that RabbitMQ's this variable. Don't put config here. RabbitMQ implicitly adds .config at the end here for maximum confusion.
Oh, I assume that was a folder name that you were giving it.
No, it's like I can understand RabbitMQ config file pointing to either the folder that contained RabbitMQ.config or pointing to RabbitMQ.config, but it's sort of like halfway in between the two implementations. So anyway, every time you start learning a new piece of software, there's always a little learning curve and curve. And this is part of the RabbitMQ one. Anyway, I copied over. So this is these things here, if you haven't like done any Docker stuff, these are all things that are run when you're constructing the container. So like when you build it up, not when you're running it, but when you build it. So these are things gonna be layered into the file system on the new container. So I copied over RabbitMQ config, and I just put the super simple one together that basically said loopback users none. So it's just an empty set, meaning that anybody can connect. The default config file has something like that in it, meaning that people who are guests cannot connect externally. They're only valid on the loopback. So anyway, in production, probably don't do that. That's going to be problematic. You know, open up your RabbitMQ to more people than you wanted to. And then the final step is to set up the command that runs when you actually run Docker run. So when you run Docker run, it will like start up the container and then it'll run whatever the CMD is. And this is just the RabbitMQ server.bat. So it's going to start up RabbitMQ inside of the container.
Cool.
So it's as simple as that. And to run it, you would just run Docker run -t, and mine is called monsters rabbit. And you rabbit enter monsters. There. So I have one started here because it takes a little while to spin up. And this is the RabbitMQ container all started up inside of my machine. And we can just do a Docker inspect on that. So just do Docker PS. And this is, like, I swear to you, the best feature of Docker is that every time you start a container and you don't explicitly name it, it'll come up with its own name for it. So today's name is Laughing McClintock.
I like it.
Yeah, so we do Docker inspect, is it? There we go. So this is just like a JSON dump with a bunch of settings from Docker. And what we're interested in is the IP address that it got signed. So what's that IP address? And we can tell net to this address on 5672. So you can see that we can actually connect to the RabbitMQ port there, and I'll just maybe spin up a quick instance of Edge, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen you do that before.
I know. And it is that, and what was the port? I forget now. Let's go take a look what we exposed. 15672. 15672. Man and bear scare each other. So this is the RabbitMQ login guest, and the secret password is also guest. You can log in here and you can start taking a look at RabbitMQ. Yeah, let's remember that password. That seems useful. So now we're connected to RabbitMQ. So in the next episode, maybe we will try sending a message to RabbitMQ so we can see some pretty little graphs update inside of here, and we can try distributing some messages between different services.
That's great. Thanks, Simon.
All right. No problem.
And thanks, everyone.
Talk to everybody later.
Oh, we're good at these outros.
Oh, how do I stop recording?